Yeah, yeah, let's kick it.
Okay,
kick it. And your mom threw away your best porno mag.
Okay. Dave from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week we are talking about the episode from February 9th, 2019, season 44, episode 12, Halsey hosting and musical guesting.
Halsting? What'd you say?
I don't know. I thought you said Halsting.
I probably did.
Okay.
But yeah, Halsey, I'm going to admit, like, when I first heard about this, I was a little trepidatious.
Because you did not know Halsey?
She was
an unknown factor to you?
Yes, very much so. And then I looked her up. As I probably mentioned on the last podcast where it's like, oh, it seems like she's done mostly singing and not much acting. Like, she's done some voiceover work, cartoons, and acting in her videos, but aside from that, I didn't see any TV shows or movies, and I was like, I don't know how this bodes.
Yeah.
Does this bode well?
It's always interesting, I mean, because it's like somebody whose primary field is not acting,
yeah,
and you don't know what they're going to do. Like, you know, last week we talked all about
The athletes. The footballers and basketballers.
Right, the sports people.
Yes, the baseball men.
And, yeah, so that happens sometimes, but sometimes it's a pleasant surprise.
It is, and a lot of times, I thought it was weird, because usually when I have, like, somebody who guest and is a musical guest, it's usually like a big, huge name. Like, I mean, for those that follow us on Twitter and Facebook, you see I posted up something where they showed a list of people who musical guested and guest hosted, and it's, you know, names like Janet Jackson and Britney Spears and Taylor Swift. And so when I heard Halsey, I was like,
See, I just assume Halsey probably is a huge thing right now, but I'm just unaware of her because I'm middle-aged and out of touch.
I guess so. I guess so. Now that I think about it, yeah, maybe there are people who, because Donald Glover musical guested and hosted, maybe there are people who maybe weren't familiar with Donald Glover before then.
Oh, sure. I guess I'm sure. Like, I knew Donald Glover from Community. I knew he had a rap career, but I wasn't as familiar with his rap material.
Okay. And then then you learned.
Then I learned. I watched This Is America, and
that video was...
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much... I mean, I know about Childish Gambino, his older stuff. Like, if you listen to his early stuff, it's just like kind of... He's a good rapper. He had good beats, but now he's sort of gone away from that. He's like more focused on his singing, and then the last stuff he's done it's been more like Parliament Funkadelic type of like 70s funk singing, and now he's kind of not rapping at all. Really, he's kind of doing his own thing. I don't even know what to call it, but it's great. And when that video came out, I was like,
it's intense.
He's taking his career in a bold new direction.
But, I was, like, I hadn't heard of Halsey before this, it was announced that she was going to be hosting. And then I discovered to my surprise that she actually has been on the show earlier this year. She was a guest vocalist with Lil Wayne. When he was on earlier this season.
That was a shocker. You told me about that, and I was like...
Yeah, and I was like, how am I the guy who finds out about this? You're supposed to be more tuned into the music stuff
than
I am.
I'm the young, hip guy, and you're like the grizzled old vet.
Exactly, exactly.
That's the dynamic.
Right.
I'm the Eddie Murphy to your Nick Nolte, and that's what we agree to, and here you are, just you're besting me.
Yeah.
You're besting me.
In that one instance, yes.
Wow. All right, so there we go.
But, I was pleasantly surprised by Halsey. I thought she did a nice job. But let's get into it.
Let's dive into this.
Let's unpack this show.
What you said.
Yeah. So we start out. We had the cold open. We had meet the press.
Yeah, yeah.
With Kyle Mooney as Chuck Togg. Chuck Todd.
Chuck Togg.
Chuck Togg. That's my D&D character. Excuse me.
Oh my lord.
Chuck Todd, who says, I'm still figuring out my whole look.
Yeah.
Shot across the bow to Chuck Todd.
I'm sure even Chuck Todd would be like, yeah, that's fair.
And we had, let's see, we had...
Donna Brazil.
Donna Brazil. We had Keenan as Washington Post columnist Eugene Robinson. Cecily Strong as Wall Street Journal writer Peggy Noonan. Another middle-aged woman that Cecily is playing.
Yeah.
And Leslie Jones as DNC chair Donna Brazile. And they're all unpacking the National Enquirer Jeff Bezos blackmail story.
Right.
And it just quickly degenerates into, what do you think his penis looks like?
Yes, very much so. And of course, Leslie Jones' character is like, what? Are we just talking about his penis all the time?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that we had Leslie Jones as like the one normal person, as the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't usually play like sort of the straight man.
That's true in these
scenarios. So.
Usually she's kind of out there with it, but yeah. Now she's like the grounded one. It's like, yeah. Interesting.
I thought, I was like, oh, that's a different way to use Leslie Jones. And she did a nice job with that. So.
And I did kind of like the sketch because I thought it was an interesting way to show how, like, you know, our news is being told to us now. They sort of, I guess now the news kind of leans towards more the tabloidy.
They go for the salacious stuff.
Yes, like TMZ, National Enquirer type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Instead of telling us, you know, facts and whatnot, we're all like, hey, what's Jeff Bezos' Wang look like?
Right, and right. Because that's what gets the clicks. That's what gets the ratings. That's what gets the
likes and retweeters.
Yeah.
And what have you.
Gotta sex up the news. Yeah.
Justify my love.
Whoa.
What?
Why do we go to Justify My Love?
Were we not thinking of the same thing? Okay, well.
We're going to early 90s Madonna?
Yes!
Okay.
That's not how you get down? All right, fine. I'm sorry.
I'm not judging. It was just very out of nowhere.
Well, it was where my mind went to. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You don't think of Justify My Love when you think of Jeff Bezos' penis?
Is there a good answer to that question?
Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not. I just... Okay.
Wow, I really threw you.
You really threw me. I think about Justify My Love a moderate amount for someone living in the year 2019, yes. Which is hardly at all.
My mind never left.
Okay.
The 90s live on in my brain.
All right.
It's like Portland up here.
That was the era that Madonna did like the sex book, right?
Yeah, it was like all black and white and stuff. And
right, with Vanilla Ice. I know Vanilla Ice is in it somewhere.
Vanilla Ice.
She was like, had a thing with Vanilla Ice at the time. That was done.
I feel like Big Daddy Kane's in there somewhere too, maybe. I might be wrong. But okay. Yeah, it was like black and white videos and
just,
you know, tastefully done, but it was still at the time.
I remember just a shot of her like hitchhiking nude. She's on like a city street and she's nude and she's got her thumbs out.
Yeah,
like she's hitchhiking.
And it was, everybody was like, oh my God. She came out with and to tie it back into SNL, that's when they did the sketch with Phil Hartman and Danny DeVito did the audiobook, right? Am I nuts?
The audiobook of Madonna's sex?
Yeah.
And like, I think I remember that. I remember there was a Wayne's World fantasy sequence.
There was that. I'm pretty sure there was a sketch, too.
They
where
were
like,
playing Justify My Love, and they were parodying the video.
Yeah, there was that. I remember that. That was that was weird. But then there was also the part where like they did the audiobook, and Phil Hartman was Charles Heston.
Okay.
He was reading.
Oh, I like my vagina.
There it is.
Yeah. See? Okay. I remember that. Opie and Anthony used to use that as a sound clip.
As we all should.
So anyway, people get distracted by the salacious stuff.
Yeah, that's not your ringtone.
We were saying.
Yes, and Wilbur Ross, Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon continuing her trend of playing weird, evil troll men.
Yes. It continues.
Yeah, and she talks She talks about switching penises with a homeless guy for $100, which...
That's not a lot of money.
It would take more than that for you to switch your penis with a billionaire.
I mean, I don't want to switch my penis with anybody. I'm happy with my penis, but but 100 is that's
yeah. It seems low.
That's like a Verizon bill. That's really low.
But I mean, if you're homeless, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm speaking for my ivory tower.
I hadn't thought about the logistics of this deal that much, but yeah, you have a good point.
Well, start thinking about it.
What's a good going price for a penis these days? I don't know.
Well, you know.
I don't even know how to Google that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Big brother.
And the very end, we had A.D. Bryant showing up as acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker.
Yes, another woman as dressing up as a dude.
Impressive makeup job.
Yeah.
On her and on Kate in this episode.
Absolutely.
Very extensive makeup. That's... kudos to the SNL makeup department. They did a nice job.
Hear, hear.
And yeah.
I mean, the opening, I thought it was okay. It was pretty. I mean, there's something that they go to a lot, like a news segment where there's like the Fox News or MSNBC.
They're always topical on the cold open.
Yeah,
I mean, it's always something that's big in the news.
That's true. But it's usually like a news segment, like if it's not something with, you know, Trump.
Right, right.
But yeah, I thought the opening was okay.
So, yeah, it was good. They had a few good lines. We had, like, I liked how that two of them had their own fake New York Post headlines.
Yeah, yeah.
And they actually mocked them up. I didn't think either one was as good as the actual New York Post headline of, of Bezos exposes Pecker.
Yeah.
But,
God, that's an actual newspaper. That's like...
Well, the New York Post is very, very good at what they do.
Yeah, they...
That is their brand.
They go to what they go to. It's,
They're the headline people. The headline kings. But, okay, so next we had the monologue with Halsey coming out. She made a joke. Her name was short for Halsey and Oatsy, which...
As a Hall & Oates fan, I appreciate that.
Yes, yeah, that hit us where we live.
Yeah, it's my wheelhouse. But I mean, the monologue was pretty simple, pretty.
Yeah, not too much to say about this monologue. It just gave us our first impression of Halsey as a host or as a person, and she seems to me, she seemed like a little like a cross between Pink and Katy Perry.
I think
in terms of her look or her.
Yeah, no. A lot of people say that she reminds them of Pink. She definitely has that strong Pink vibe.
Well, I mean, she's got the short hair and it's like the bright red color. So,
yeah, that's true. But even like the way she behaves and even looks a little bit, she's like a strong. Mm-hmm. She evokes Pink.
Yeah, and she also said that she grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah,
New Jersey represent.
Jersey strong.
And she said when I was a kid, I was absolutely obsessed with SNL. And she admired all the women on the show. Now, she said she was obsessed with SNL, but she did not say that she was an SNL super nerd, unlike Jason Momoa. So I don't think we can count this as a plug for our podcast.
Son of a bitch.
So
close.
So close. But disappointed in you, Halsey. We're just saying that.
Like, we appreciate the jersey. I mean, because you're Jersey, we'll let it slide.
Yeah.
Just say nerds, SNL nerds.
Yeah, like just say I'm an SNL nerd.
Yeah.
How tough is that?
You don't have to hide it, man.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay. We are here for you.
We accept you.
We support you.
Yes.
So now, let's see. Next we had our first sketch. It was a film segment.
Them Trumps.
Them Trumps. Return of Them Trumps.
Trumps.
I was surprised they got this back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it did really well the first time.
I think it did well. I just didn't look at it and think, oh, it's a recurring bit, because it was just kind of that one joke.
No, I see what you're saying.
So I was just surprised to see it back. Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was still funny. I thought it was just as funny the second time. We had, they said, you know, from the producers of Empire, the show that acts the question, they said acts.
Jesus.
I
didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they made a point. They said acts the question.
That might say more about me than it does. It's like, oh yeah, ask the question. What's the problem?
Yeah, what if Donald Trump was black? So we have all the Trumps as a black family.
Yeah,
and
it turns out black Trump doesn't get away with it as much things as white Trump.
No,
does.
No, he gets hassled a lot by the popo.
Wonder why?
Yeah,
don't understand.
Nope.
But it's always funny because like he says, it's like because Keenan goes into his big speech. And then it's cut short immediately. Like, oh, yeah, the cops are here. Yeah, I expected that.
Yeah, that tracks. And then they run the credits really, really fast.
It's a funny thing.
It's funny. It's
right. And the cops pull him over, and then he asks for license registration, and then he's in a limo. So, like, I'm not even driving.
Right, right.
And then he said, well, you know, don't worry. It's, you know, even though I am black, I still am the most, you know, powerful man in the... Sir, get out the car.
Yeah,
yeah, I expected that.
Here we go. Somebody record this for World Star.
And it just speeds by. Like,
yeah, and then just the credits at light speed.
It's really funny. I mean, I guess it's a little bit... Because, like, I know, like, last time I talked about how some sketches kind of, like, the... what am I trying to say? Like, some sketches, like, do the same thing over and over again. Like, the James McAvoy sketch, they redid the... The New Orleans sketch,
Cuba,
sketch, and then they redid the two brothers fighting in the underwear sketch, and that's, I mean, you could say this is sort of the same thing, but it's not really because like they're in different situations. And
well,
it's
also
like
it's such a quick bit, I don't really mind it. I mean, if it's a 3 or 4 minute sketch,
right,
and it's essentially the same as a sketch we saw before, that bugs me.
Right.
If it's just like a quick 2 minute thing like this,
right,
that's fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like a Yeah.
It knows what it is. It gets in and out. Gets, like, mm-hmm. We got the laugh. Get out. Get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom,
exactly.
Bang.
And it's also a creative way for them to use Trump, you know, now that Alec Baldwin has sort of scaled back his appearances this season. So,
no, absolutely.
I mean, because you got to have a way to use or comment on Trump in some fashion. And this is a nice creative way to do it.
Yeah, it's a good way to comment on him without having him be there or see him.
Of course, they're probably going to be losing Keenan very soon since his show's gotten picked up. So.
Wow, yeah. That's a shock. I mean, I guess it's not official yet, but it's...
He hasn't announced that he's leaving, but like he's got a sitcom that's been picked up for, what is it, like 10 or 13 episodes, I think?
I think so. And he's also, isn't he hosting or guest judging like a comedy competition show?
I hadn't heard that.
Oh,
so
maybe I spoke out of turn.
I don't know how he can be doing anything but leaving SNL. Yeah. Then.
I mean, I remember I think we tweeted it out. There was like show on NBC where it's like a comedy competition show, kind of like.
I think I was mischaracterizing the show. That's the show that's been picked up for.
Oh, yeah. I thought he had like another show. I'm like, is he doing two shows?
No, I was remembering it as a sitcom, but that was my error. You're right.
It's like some comedy competition show where it's like him and like Jeff Foxworthy, he's a judge, and Christy Teigen is a judge, and somebody else. And
sure.
So I was like,
because it's a reality show, you have to have Christy Teigen in there. Yeah, you're legally required.
Absolutely. So. It's just industry standard,
right?
So like, there's that. So I was like, yeah, I guess can he do this and this show?
I don't see how you'd have time for both, but maybe if he's doing it during the summer hiatus or something. Yeah. Who knows?
We'll keep you posted here at SNL Nerds.
That's right. Yeah. So next we had our first sketch, our first live sketch at the Virginia State Capitol, and Virginia's had an eventful week.
Yeah.
the Virginia governor has admitted that he wore blackface in college as part of a costume, and the Attorney General of Virginia also admitted to wearing blackface in college as part of a costume. So this sketch had Keenan as like a PR person asking all the government reps, has anybody here worn blackface in college?
And they're slow to come out at first, but then slowly but surely.
And like, you know, people raise their hand. And Pete Davidson's like, "Are you going to be mad?" "No, I'm not going to be mad. I just want to know so we can get ahead of this thing." Well, I dressed up as Mr. T. Okay, did you wear blackface? Yes, I did.
Yeah,
that's bad.
And then it just goes on from there. It's like, well, you know, it doesn't count if it was in the 80s, right? Everybody wore black.
No, it was wrong in the 80s. It was always wrong.
It's like, what if it's an homage to somebody who you look up to? It's like, who do you look up to? Al Jolson?
That joke, it's a good joke. It's joke. It didn't really land.
Exactly.
I don't think enough people know who or remember who Al Jolson is anymore.
I caught that too. I was like, oh, do people not know who Al Jolson is? Or,
yeah. Like, I don't think his name has instant recognition.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's like maybe a generational thing.
In case any of our listeners don't know who Al Jolson was, he was the guy who was in the movie The Jazz Singer, which was like the first talkie film, I think.
I believe so.
And he very famously appears in blackface.
Yeah.
In that movie, and he does Mammy.
Yeah.
And
I
mean, worked for the time, I guess?
Yeah.
Because it's like 1920-something?
At the time, you just don't... what is it with white people? Why do white people like blackface so much? John, you're white. Can you answer this?
I cannot.
Okay. I mean, it's just weird because it's one of those things. Like, it's just,
Since we are in an audio medium, I just want to clarify: I am not wearing blackface.
He is not
at this moment.
I can confirm.
Darren can testify. He can confirm for me. He will vouch for me at the next meeting.
He is white as driven snow. Wait, what?
Yes.
You're coming to the meeting? Or
I'm not coming to the meeting.
Oh, okay. Oh,
no, I'm not invited to the meetings.
Oh,
I've heard.
Who? Shit, how'd you know about the meeting?
Fuck. You mentioned the meeting.
Oh, you mentioned
the meetings practically every week.
Son of a... Oh, gotta mention this at the meeting now, too.
Yeah.
Son of a beast.
They're gonna have a talk with you about how you're talking about the meetings.
Oh.
But,
first rule of meetings. You don't mention the meeting. God.
I'm in so much trouble. But I liked this sketch. I enjoyed it because it was really funny, but it also had a point to make. And I mean, it's a horrible situation that is happening, but it's such a great situation to satirize.
Yeah, I thought there was one line where I guess it was Mikey Day mentioned, like, what if you're in black booty And it's yes. like, I was like, what the hell uh-huh. is that? And it's like, oh, it's like, well, you kind of dress as a black booty.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
how do we know it was a black booty? Oh, well, because I was wearing black.
It just, yeah, guys, don't wear black. Just don't do
it's
it.
A simple thing. And it's not even like Halloween right now.
No, it's not.
How is it? It's February. How do we have
it's black
so many black face controversies in February?
It's really weird.
It's so weird.
Guys, just don't do it. Why do you want to do it so badly? Why? Just because you can't? Or
because it's taboo?
I mean, there are a lot of taboo things.
Or because are they just... Do they just generally not think about it? Do they just
maybe?
Generally
I guess
not...
that's it. Like it's like, oh, it doesn't bother me, so I don't see why I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, just don't, just don't.
No.
Just don't do it.
It's just it's.
There's
it's
so many other things you can do.
It's a bad idea.
Just yeah. Hey man, just like don't.
It's. Don't yeah.
Do, just don't do it.
That's I'm depressed now.
That's
legit depressed.
I'm sorry. We're only two. Sketches in. We got a whole show to do.
I know.
It's all right. Well, let's go to the next sketch. The Valentine's Day video, mm-hmm. music video from with A.D. Bryant, Kate McKinnon, and Halsey.
Yes, this was another film segment. And just kind of talking about how Valentine's Day you want to get down with your significant other, but then you get a platonic Valentine from like your mother, and now your mom's in your head.
I guess that's that's never happened to me, but I guess that there's something that happens to the women out there. Like they get a Valentine's Day from like maybe their female boss or their mom, and now they have that in their head.
I don't know if it's exclusively a female problem. Is it?
I didn't get any.
I mean, I would assume, but
no. I mean,
I would assume that's happened to.
I don't. Do you get Valentine's from people you're not dating?
I've gotten Valentine gifts from my parents or like a card or really? Something like that.
My parents haven't gotten me shit. What is this, Ma? Where are my Valentines?
I'm not going to get in the middle of that.
All right.
I am Switzerland. I am. I am going to be neutral.
Fine. Don't take a side.
Darren's mom, send him a Valentine. Yeah. Don't send him a Valentine. Do what you want.
You too, Dad.
You live your life.
You too, Dad. Pick up the slack. Come on.
But yeah, it's just the awkwardness of getting a Valentine from your mom or getting one from your boss.
Yeah.
Or,
the boss thing's a little weird.
Yeah. Who's the
the son.
My son who doesn't quite read, who gave me a Valentine that says, I can't wait for tonight.
And
Kate McKinnon's like, what do you think is going to happen tonight? We're going to have cake?
It's funny. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Ooh. Cake. Oh, boy.
We should have more cake for Valentine's Day. That should be more of a Valentine's... velvet cake. That's right there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That seems like a very apropos Valentine.
Yeah, that stuff's delicious, too.
I know.
Some people don't like it. I'm like...
We need more of an excuse to eat red velvet cake.
I don't need no excuses. I'll eat red velvet cake unapologetically every day.
That's right.
All day.
He is consuming a red velvet cake as we are recording.
Yes, I am. I'm eating my feelings because of the meetings we have.
Yeah.
I gotta explain all this.
But this was cute. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was all right. I liked because Keenan was throughout. Keenan was in a lot of sketches this episode.
Heavy Keenan show.
Heavy Keenan. But like he was at there's one point where he says, you know, Valentine's Day is for lovers. They don't want to hear from you. I mean, that's what birthdays are for.
Yeah, that's a good line.
That's a good line. That's pretty apt.
Mm-hmm.
Apropos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the next sketch we get is. I mean, I don't know what you'd call this one. I guess it's called parents calling a guy when he's at work.
That is what happened in the sketch, yes.
Okay, then that's what we'll call it. I
don't know what the title is. I haven't looked at the YouTube feed today. But,
but it's basically this guy who's an architect showing some people he's working for, like some blueprints for some a building.
Mm-hmm.
And then while he's doing that, his parents call, and it goes odd.
Yeah,
it's an odd call from his parents.
And Mikey Day. He's the architect. He's showing the clients Melissa Villasenor and Chris Redd, and then his parents, who are played by Beck Bennett and Halsey. And they were like, oh hey, we just wanted to make sure how that new grill was working for you because we love ours. And they're just mentioning all this huge information in passing.
Yeah, all this benign stuff,
right? I shattered my leg.
yeah.
in a million places.
And then like, they just hang up.
What? How did you shatter your leg? Oh, and
right.
I like this. I think it hits on, like, some parents, they have a tendency to just sort of drop
yeah.
major bits of news in right. passing like that. Well, but they're much more interested in your life.
Yes, very much
in
so.
The minutia of your life. And
then they go, they keep talking, and then at one point, like, they get upset with him, and it's like, all right, yeah. fine, we'll hang up, but just so you know, your mom got shot.
Right.
And he's hanging up, and like, wait, what? Mom got shot?
And Mikey Day has to keep calling him back, and it gets to the point where his clients, Chris Red and Melissa Villasenor, they're invested in this, and they're yeah. like, no, we're all in this now. We gotta call back with you. We gotta find out what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a play on that Civil War.
It reminded me of that. Yeah, the war at home.
Yeah, the letter correspondence sketch mm-hmm, with the mm-hmm. Civil War, where it's like his significant, he's like, he's away in the war, and his significant other writes a letter not saying much, but the last line is something very like big and explosive. It's like, yes. Oh, by the way, I saw Abraham Lincoln. Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, what?
Well, and there's this man who's living with us now. Why is that man living with you now?
Yeah, and they don't bother go into that.
Yeah, and at the end of the sketch, they're like, oh, yeah, you can come. Mikey Day says, I'm flying down tomorrow to check up on you guys, because his parents are like in traction,
yeah,
basically.
His mom broke her hand, and
yeah.
there's a hole in their house now because they want to build an elevator.
But they decided not to install the elevator, so they fell down the hole, and yeah. and
so he's so Mike is like, I'm coming over,
and then say, oh great, you can meet Roger. Who's Roger? Well, he's your identical twin who we gave up at birth. He's living with us now.
And the sketch ends there.
Yeah,
it's a good sketch.
Yeah,
it's all over the place.
I liked it. It was fun. It was absurd.
Yeah,
it was well played.
Yes. Well played, SNL. Well yeah. played.
Melissa started to break at one point.
Did she? Oh, I didn't even
notice. She started to break at one point. She was cracking a smile.
Holy, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
holy.
But it recovered quickly.
All right. And then next, Women of Congress.
Women of Congress. This is another pre-tape segment. It's the Women of Congress. They're in like this Charlie's Angels type super team.
Yeah.
They're all in white like they were for the State of the Union
right.
address earlier this week.
I expected kind of more sketches about that, because I thought it'd be more state of, because like just mm-hmm. I didn't see the State of the Union, but from what I've seen, the clips of it and like, you know, the memes,
mm-hmm.
it's all like, you know, Nancy Pelosi doing that, you know, clap thing.
Yes,
and
that became a meme that very very quickly.
That became huge.
Yeah,
that became some people's like profile pic, and like I, you know, AOC, you know, not standing and smiling and applauding.
Mm-hmm.
Like I expected more sketches around that, but they didn't really do that. They kind of. I mean, I guess they put all that into this sketch here.
Right. I mean, they had, like, everybody get an introduction, and there were, like, eight different congresswomen.
Right.
So I'm not going to go through them all. But
yeah, they use like, all the women from this.
They use, yeah, I guess they did. I didn't count, but yeah, I'm sure that was, like, every woman they had on hand.
Yeah. All and, hands on deck.
And then it cuts to them in an office, Charlie's Angel style, and they have Trump on a speakerphone. And he's saying, like, oh, well, you know, since I took office, we have more women in Congress than ever before. And all the women go ballistic, saying, you don't get to take credit for that. Which, yeah, when I...
That's
I,
something he would do.
I didn't watch or listen to the State of the Union either. But when I heard that clip on the radio the next day,
yeah.
I was just like, what? What? How do you think you had anything to do with that except of that being in reaction to you?
Anything that's good that happens, he did.
Yeah.
Anything that's bad, he didn't do and had nothing to do with it.
I guess.
That's how it works.
And the sad part is that must work on somebody who has like a very shallow understanding of the news, or they only get their news from what he says.
It's like, oh, he said it, so that must be it.
Yeah, I mean.
And I don't need to look any further than into this thing, because he said it and I agree with it, and the end.
This justifies my worldview, therefore it must be true.
No more learning needs to be done.
Yeah, I like the idea of this. I love the idea of them being like this Charlie's Angels style super team.
I feel like it's missing something, this sketch.
It ended very abruptly, and because there were so many characters in the sketch, it took so long to introduce everybody.
Right.
It didn't really go anywhere after that. It didn't have a big enough payoff.
I feel the same way. Like I felt like it was kind of leading to something big, but
mm-hmm.
it was more build up, and the payoff was not as It was all right, but wasn't as great. I felt it was missing something. This was missing something.
I mean, it was kind of like when they do like a Celebrity Family Feud thing. It just takes so damn long to introduce every damn character that by the time you get into the sketch, it's like there's not. It's half over.
Yeah. So I mean, there has to be a quicker way to get into it. But
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe they could have just introduced the first few and then had the other people just there. I don't know.
Look,
I don't know
look
what
at
you
us
would
brainstorming
do.
Like we work for SNL.
I don't know.
All right. But yeah, so. I don't know. It was okay. And so then we had our first musical guesting.
Yes.
From Halsey.
Halsey.
Yeah, so I listened to some of her stuff beforehand. It's, you know, it's very like kind of pop, you know, poppy, pop music. It is actually a little bit like Pink now that I think about her.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, she's a great singer. She does very well.
She's got a good voice. Her first number was like kind of a ballad.
Yeah, yeah. And it had that big dramatic thing in the back where like there was all the words in the background. Like,
yeah, it was.
I cheated.
Yeah, she had she was in sort of like a, it wasn't the usual SNL set.
Yeah, it looked like a black box kind of thing a little
and
bit.
And it had like, not quite graffiti, but it had words graphically on the walls.
Yeah, it kind of looked like that No Doubt album cover, the I think Hell Baby or Yeah Baby. Or
something it was very striking. I liked the visual of it.
Yeah.
It was a cool set.
You know, it's not bad.
Simple staging. She was just there pretty much in the spotlight and just her.
Yeah, very much. I mean, but the second performance, I think that's the one everybody's kind of talking about a little bit more. Do you want to talk about it now or talk about later?
Yeah,
all right, so in her second performance, I thought this was pretty interesting. It's basically, it's her kneeling in front of this huge canvas that's on the floor or just, you know, huge piece of paper. And throughout her set, she's singing the song. But while she's singing, she's like painting something.
She's painting a face.
Yeah, she's painting a face. She's painting like a portrait.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting. Like she was like actually painting while she was singing. And, and like they had the camera overhead to show that she was painting this huge face. Oh, wow. All right. And it was pretty good. And it was like,
It was definitely sketched in on that canvas beforehand.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You got to do that. That wasn't like freestyle.
No. Yeah. I was looking and I was like, I can just barely make out the pencil lines.
Oh,
and,
that's your illustrator side.
Yeah, that's my art background. I was just like, there's no way she's painting that freehand.
That's right.
Because just for the time factor alone.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure you're making the right brushstroke.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and plus, that's something like that. We have to time it just right. You have to paint because, you know, the song is only like 3 minutes long, so you have to get everything done within that 3 minutes.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
That's like, you know, the time is of the essence.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. It sounded like her second song, it sounded like it was pre-taped to me. Like she was singing to a previously recorded track.
I think she was. I know what you mean.
It didn't sound like she was singing live.
Yeah, all right, so maybe it's not. Now it's not as impressive. Thanks for taking the shine off of my...
That was my feeling. I have nothing... I didn't research this. I don't have anything to back this up, but that's what it sounded like, and that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
But
still, like, she's painting while, you know, on live TV. That's...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Bob Ross in it.
But, I mean, if she was lip-syncing to a pre-recorded track, I was just like, well, why even have a mic? You know, why...
I don't know. To give off...
Yeah.
You know, for appearances.
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, now, let's bum me out. Thanks a lot, John.
Well, we've each depressed each other
Jesus.
So far in this
Jesus.
Show. So let's move on to Weekend Update.
Weekend Update. This is always the shining point of the show, I think. I
can't tell if that was sarcastic.
No, it's not. That totally wasn't. I can understand.
This is always a shining point of the show.
After saying it and hearing it, I was like, oh, that kind of sounded snarky. I really enjoyed the Weekend Update part.
It sounded like you were saying that ironically. So we had our usual Weekend Update hosts.
Jose and Chahay.
Chahay.
I meant that. I did not mean that snarkily.
So many jokes about Ralph Northam, who is the blackface governor of Virginia.
They went blackface heavy on this one.
I mean,
how could you
It's not? Kind of a comedian's dream in terms of stuff to write jokes about. But so much about it. It was just so much, again, so much blackface.
And then, of course, Liam Neeson, and of course, the blackface sweater thing that I think Gucci.
I hadn't heard that at all.
I heard a little bit about that before.
The Gucci sweater, and they show a picture of the sweater, and it's like a turtleneck. Some person had it pulled up over their mouth, and then it's open in the mouth, and there are like red lips
just
around
like,
the mouth hole.
Like
and it's
straight up Sambo. Like, it is really bad.
How does anyone think that is a good idea?
I honestly think they just make that just so they can get some press. But it's not good press, but maybe any press is good press.
I was flabbergasted by that. I missed that story completely. I'd heard about the Liam Neeson thing. The Liam Neeson thing is weird in itself.
Happy Black History Month, everybody. And so now, like, a lot of rappers are saying, trying to boycott Gucci, which that's easy for me to do because I can't afford Gucci.
Right.
Boycott something like Kohl's. Or Target, that'd be an issue.
But and they also talked about how there are calls on the governor of Virginia to resign. But the second in line for the governorship is embroiled in two sex scandals.
And
the third in line, who is the attorney general, has also done blackface.
What is Virginia? What is going on down? Do I have to come back there? Do I have to come down there? VA?
Holy shit.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God. We're really... I don't know what's real. I don't know what's going on anymore.
My note. I'm still on that Gucci Sambo sweater. My note just says, "Well, what the WTF was that?"
Just WTF exclamation marks.
Yes.
That's a thing that happened. And oof. But then we had some segments. We had Melissa Villa Senor,
right?
Belting out some Gaga songs,
dressed up as Lady Gaga. She's got the blonde hair with the sort of dark roots, and she's in the all white outfit, and she's singing the song from the
Shallows.
Star is Born.
Star is Born to Shallows. Right. Yeah, and I'm glad that they see. I think I mentioned this a while ago, where they say, "Oh, they should give Melissa more time to sing, and she has a great voice." And sure enough, they gave her a big singing
segment. And I was like, hey, well, she sings? I didn't know that she sings.
And
then like the week later, I see a video of her on YouTube, and she's singing up a storm.
She's a good singer. And so that means, of course, one of the writers from SNL listens to our podcast, heard me say that, oh, they need to have her sing more, and made my dreams a reality.
It's the only possible explanation.
That's it. That's all I can think of.
That's what it had to be.
That's right. So to all the SNL writers out there, you're welcome.
Thank you. Yep.
If you want me to send you a writing packet, I'll be happy to do that.
But
so tweet at me at They're Incredible.
But I like how it was packaged. She was saying like, oh, you know, everybody's been waiting for me to give my Grammy picks. This is for all the Melissa monsters out there. Just her pretending she's got this huge fan base that she and not that Melissa Villaseñor does not have a fan base.
Whoa!
But she's pretending that she was like this big social media influencer.
The Melissa Monster is going to come after you, fella.
I guess so.
Tweet at John.
But
no, I like that the way she built that up.
Yeah, and Joseph's like, really? This isn't just about you trying to get your Lady Gaga impression on the show for weeks? And she's like, no, this is just how I dress. What are you talking about?
Tell me something good.
And her Gaga impression, it's a lot of hunched shoulders, a lot of... sneering the
like an Elvis with back issues.
It did yes, yeah, Elvis with back issues. Yeah, it did.
That's how you get.
It was kind of a
there you go.
And we had Kyle Mooney come on very quickly as Bradley Cooper's character from Star Is Born.
Yeah, and then
bearded and disheveled. And I haven't seen A Star Is Born. Have you?
I have not. I wanted to, but I haven't seen it.
It's getting like rapturous reviews. It's got nominated for some Oscars, and
people love it. People say it's like, you know, kind of poppy and mainstream, but it's good. It's like a good way. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, the best way I can explain is like I listen to one of my podcasts I listen to is this JL Colvin. He's this comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I think he stopped doing it, but
I don't care for comedians.
Oh wow, it's gonna get awkward. Yeah. All right. But yeah, I think he's kind of stopped doing it, but he still does like podcasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge movie guy. And he said, like A Star Is Born, it's kind of like going to like a high end restaurant, not Chili's, but like a Cheesecake Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Cheesecake Factory food, but it's the best Cheesecake Factory food.
It's a good metaphor.
That's a good way to say it. Like,
it's a good metaphor. I like that metaphor.
Or like, what's another restaurant? You know, like those high.
There are no other restaurants. There is just the Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake. Yeah. So you know, it is for what Cheesecake Factory is. It's the best of Cheesecake Factory.
Right.
It's
best possible Cheesecake Factory it could be.
It's not like a fancy steakhouse. It's not like you know, Smith and Wilinski's or whatever.
Right.
It's like a big fancy, I don't know, Sizzler. I guess
that's
the best steaks I've had. Okay. So yeah, so it's like that. But I definitely want to see it. I think it's coming out in video pretty soon. So I'm going to make me a trip to the library and rent me out a DVD.
High roller.
this podcast pays pretty well.
Yep.
So
swimming in the cheddar.
Yeah. Hit up our Patreon, please.
next, we had Mikey Day and Heidi Gardner as an Instagram couple. They have got a couples account.
Yeah.
On there, they're Nico and Bree, and they get into huge fights.
I like this one too because if you like seeing couples fight in public, this was good. They both kind of hit on the things that couples do when they get into big fights. Like, oh my god, I didn't even say anything, like stuff like that, and like the way they were playing it up, I kind of dug.
Yeah, and they're like equally obnoxious whether they're being affectionate or whether they're at each other's throats.
Yes.
So with like a lot of couples. I'm sure most everybody knows a couple like that.
Yeah, it's very much. And like Mikey Day's character's like, you know, I'm just nervous. You know, I saw Halsey here. And she's like, oh, so now you're all about Halsey. And like it's like stuff like that. I kind of like, oh.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it maybe went on a little longer than it needed to. But
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But good character work by both Mikey Day and Heidi Gardner. They have a nice chemistry together. I like those two together.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see this come back again.
It seems like it is like a recurring thing in the making.
I we're gonna see this like within like I'm gonna say 3 weeks.
Okay. mark your calendar. So by the end of February, beginning of March.
Yes,
we're gonna see that again. Okay, all right.
So that's my hot take, everybody.
That's your hot take.
Place your bets.
So let's see.
Oh, and then the next one, who just bought a boat. Just bought a boat.
Alex Moffat. He's done this before, I believe.
Yes, numerous times.
Yes.
This character does not have a name, but he's a very kind of douchey, douche bro type type of dude.
How to score some Jiny while staying on this side of the liney.
Yes, very much
that's,
so.
That's what he was. He was ostensibly out there to like give dating advice or something. But
yeah.
But it quickly degenerates into jokes about how he's got a really, really small penis.
Yes, very much so. It's like, yes, my penis is small.
Yeah, like one inch erect and 3 inches flaccid. And Joseph's like, wait, how is it shorter when it's erect?
It gets shorter when it's erect? And like, yeah, and of course, it's just Alex Moffat quickly saying a lot of things like, oh, make sure she's legal. You can't spell Cupid without C-I-D.
Uh-huh.
And like a lot. I mean, it's just impressive at how he's like quickly able to say all these things. Like all these like really, really gross.
Alex Moffat is good at playing douche bros.
That's his lane. He's good at it.
He's good.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I get a kick out of douche bros a little bit. So, you know, I watch Entourage a little bit. I'll admit it. Yeah.
Yeah. Douche bros can be entertaining.
Yeah.
If you're not encountering them in life.
Yeah, no.
Them in entertainment.
Oh, dear.
And you have the option of turning them off.
Yes. Oh, dear
or
God.
Or muting them.
I would never hang out with them. Dear God, no.
No.
No, I'd run the other way screaming. Yes. But, like, if to see them in like, short, you know, burst, you're like, oh, that's hilarious. Okay, let's watch something worthwhile now.
Yes.
Like, that's what I like.
Yes.
Yes.
Next, we had a sketch that was at a karaoke bar. We had... this was Melissa Villaseñor, again, heavy show for Melissa.
Yeah.
Halsey and Cecily Strong as three college girls that are pledging a sorority.
Yeah.
And they're all singing the Four Non Blondes song, What's Up?
Oh. People think it's What's Going On.
It is not.
It is not.
The title of that song is What's Up because they did not want to mix it up with the Marvin Gaye What's Going On, I think.
That's Let's Get It On.
Let's get it. No,
yeah. Let's get it on.
Wait. Who is it?
Who does what's going on?
Yeah. Who did what's going on?
That's Marvin Gaye. What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other What's Going On.
Okay.
He did What's Going On and Let's Get It On. Wow. I just
realized. He did a lot of on songs.
He was on a lot of stuff.
Wow. He was.
Read into that what you will.
You had me doubting my Marvin Gaye. No, trivia, you bastard.
I am so sorry.
Bastard.
Let's just take a step back. Let's all just calm down.
We are going to have words.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, so this sketch, this must have happened to somebody at some point. It seems very specific.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing all, they're singing this karaoke, and it's one of their challenges so that they can get into the sorority. And they're all in Shirts for the sorority that the purple t-shirts,
the Greek letters
with the Greek letters for the sorority, and they're like cut up so that they're sort of fringed on the shoulders.
Yeah,
they're in pink tutus and knee socks.
Yeah,
and
then they just have to do like horrible things to the men in the audience because like, oh, I'm sorry, this is for the sorority,
right? And they're not like sexy things like, you know, make out with a stranger or like the guys do a body shot. It's random stuff like, I'm going to call your dad and tell him you're a Scientologist.
Or, sorry, it's for the pledge.
Yeah.
And she pours, one woman pours hot coffee in a guy's lap.
Right.
And at one point, one woman says, oh, hey, I have to give you this parrot now, and you have to raise it as your own. And it's a huge parrot.
and you have to raise it. It's yours to take care of now.
And it's huge.
And it's racist.
Yeah.
She just...
And she had to give this parrot to Pete Davidson. You could tell Pete Davidson was like a little freaked out by it.
Yeah,
too.
The parrot, the macaw, was not moving on to Pete Davidson's arm the way it's supposed to. And he just goes, this bird sucks. And cuts away from him, which is
classic Pete.
Yeah, it was a fun.
It was a short sketch, too. It seemed like shorter than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Kate McKinnon didn't have that much. She was in it for a little bit, but then they kind of...
Yeah, I thought... I thought
the sketch was going to be about her, but then it...
The sketch starts, and it's A.D. Bryant. She's like the host. She's singing the end of Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll, and then she introduces Kate McKinnon, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be about Kate McKinnon's character.
And she starts nervously,
and I like wrote down her character name and the song she started singing, and then the sorority girls come on, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't matter at all.
Bait and switch.
Yeah, I just wrote that down for no reason.
Nope. Yep.
Nope.
You just wait to something, my
nope,
friend.
Nope.
So I thought that was a good. It was a quick sketch. It was like, okay. Quick,
it was fun. It was absurd. It was
SNL.
The ladies sounded good.
Yeah, yeah.
Their voices blended well.
Ladies sound real good.
They sounded good. They looked good. They looked kind of goofy, but.
Ladies sound real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do we have next?
Next
here?
Sketch. It's this Black History Month sketch from SNL. Now, I thought this was interesting because, like, at first it was like really kind of serious, had a serious tone to it.
Honestly, it was because it started out with just Leslie and Keenan. I thought they were just going to introduce the next musical number,
right?
Because we hadn't seen it yet by that point in the show.
Yeah, and then they talk about Black History Month, and they talk about the other Black people that've been on SNL, like Garrett Morris, and mentioned Ellen Cleghorn
and Eddie Murphy.
Of course, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
and then like for a minute, I was like, oh, this is going to be serious. It's going to do like a little serious tribute to all the
and then Ego Nwadum and Chris Redd come in and join them,
right? And then like, oh wow, I guess it's going to be like a little serious thing. I better get ready for. And then of course Kyle Mooney comes in and
Kyle Mooney just takes over. And he's talking about how important Black History Month is,
right?
And how black people are not getting a word in edgewise, and it's really rude. Kyle Mooney. He just keeps going on and on and on, and I'm sorry, you had something to say?
No, were you gonna say no? Well, and then...
Well, anyway, like I was saying, so Kyle Mooney, he just keeps cutting him off, and he's, like, trying to be woke, and he's trying to lend his support, but he's just doing that typical white guy thing of just, like, going on and on, when he really should just let the Black people talk.
Yeah, and then...
And really, that was awful, right? He just did not let the Black people talk.
Yeah, but then... And then
Beck Bennett comes in.
Yeah, and then...
And then the two of them, they get into an argument about trailblazing Black women, and it was funny because it was just so rude.
Yeah,
and he keeps talking over the other people, and it was just wrong.
But that was the sketch. And then of course the Black people are like, oh, I feel like you're just overcompensating because you want to impress your Black friends.
And then they're both like, we have Black friends.
They're so happy.
We have Black friends.
Everybody's happy.
It was funny. I'm assuming that Kyle and Beck had something to do with writing this, since it featured the two of them.
Whenever I see the two of them, I'm like, it probably...
Yeah, like those two were up to something together.
Yeah. And like, I did like that one thing Kyle said where it's like, I even hate that they had it so late in the show, this sketch.
that was great.
I was like, ooh.
That was great.
It's like, if it was up to me, it would be up earlier in the show.
Right.
And that's a very, I would vote for Obama a third time if I could.
Yes. And we had all sorts of fun, kind of bemused reactions from Keenan and the others, just like, okay, we know he means well, but this really is not about you, dude.
Yeah, even Leslie was like, really? For real?
Yeah. And they were like, look, we appreciate you Googled all these names and you memorized them to say on the show.
But it's like, did you know, like, you know, black people were doing sketch before SNL? Yeah.
Yes, we did know that.
Did you know about Flip Wilson? Yeah. Did they mention
Flip Wilson? I think I missed that.
No, they didn't. They probably should have. Yeah. That was the first one I thought of, Flip Wilson. They mentioned some other people I didn't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But they should have mentioned Flip Wilson.
They should have mentioned Flip Wilson.
Never forget Flip Wilson.
Flip Wilson. What was the name of his drag character, Geraldine?
Geraldine, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, good.
I'm glad I remember that.
Yeah. All right. You impressed me. All right. You did it.
I think we have exhausted the extent of my knowledge on Flip Wilson. I know he played Oscar and they had the black version of The Odd Couple in the 80s.
Oh,
you remember that?
Wow.
It was Flip Wilson and Ron Glass.
Yeah. Who's in Serenity? Firefly.
And Ron Glass, actually a graduate of my alma mater, University of Evansville.
Ooh.
It's a big theater school, and Ron Glass is one of the notable theater graduates.
Far out.
So
this moment in Black History Month.
Exactly.
Wow.
So we celebrate Ron Glass.
Yes.
This week on the SNL Nerds.
Yes. Wow. I'm gonna
watch. And Flip Wilson.
And Flip Wilson. Wow. I'm gonna watch an episode of Barney Miller and the Flip Wilson show when I get home.
I don't think we can find any of that Odd Couple. That's probably fallen down the memory hall.
Well,
it didn't last very long.
No, I guess it's only
I mean, because I guess that's kind of a gimmick.
Yeah, you know, but like, I guess so.
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm really really want to go on YouTube right now and find out if there's any of the Black Odd Couple on YouTube.
Wow. Listeners, call in. Let us know if there's the Black Odd Couple out there. It's gotta be. Right? I mean, do you remember they did the Black All in the Family thing for a while ago?
I do. That was like
704 Hauser Street.
Yeah, I knew it was the address. I couldn't remember the number. Yeah. I watched the pilot of that.
Yeah, it was. I don't even remember it.
But they had Mike and Gloria's kid show up.
Oh, really?
And he's like, "Oh, is this the house I grew up in?" And then everybody's fighting, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, this is the house I grew up in." All right.
Oh wow.
I vaguely remember that. That really didn't last long.
Yeah, no, that was in and out real quick. I'm trying to think of any other black versions of something. There was a Black Honeymooners movie.
I remember that.
That was a movie, and. Maybe we should wait. Oh, wait. We're doing a podcast.
Okay. No, there are episodes of The New Odd Couple on YouTube.
Ooh.
Yeah. We episode 1, The Ides of April. Episode 3, Francis Moves In. The New Odd Couple intro. Episode 6, The Dukar. Episode 5, Brother, Can You Spare a... It's cut off. I think that's a job.
So. Wait, so it's full episodes on YouTube?
Full episodes. I have a feeling no one really cares if we're violating copyright on the New Odd Couple.
Oh boy!
So if you want to see Ron Glass with like an early 80s fro, where it's like kind of going over his ears, it's like half between like a fro and a mullet. It's it's very fascinating hair.
The 80s were a wild time.
They really were.
It's like a Jerry Curl type of soul glowy.
It's early enough in the 80s that there's still like a bit of 70s in the hair. You know?
So it's on its way to like Stoney Jackson, but not quite
you
there.
You can see in the thumbnail here.
There we go. Oh, yes. I remember that.
It's like going over his ears. You don't see that too much.
It's like a Kenny Powers type of deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like an early 80s Kenny Powers.
The 80s were a wild time, man.
All right. So when we're done, we are going to check out some episodes of the New Odd Couple on YouTube. We are going to boost those stats.
Yes.
We ask all of our listeners to please go on YouTube and I just searched for Black Odd Couple and this came up.
So for Black History Month, what's the Black Odd, the New Odd Couple?
We just want to really confuse the person who put up all these episodes. It's like, why am I getting such a boost in my stats?
It's because of the SNL Nerds bump, baby.
That's right. That's right.
You are welcome.
So... should we go back to talking about the show we're ostensibly here to talk about?
Or? Yeah, well, that says a lot about the show that we're going off on Oikovold.
Yeah.
All right, but so there's only two more. What?
Just you saying Oikovold.
Yeah,
that amused me.
Oh, happy Black History Month, everybody. One and all. So the next one is the family dinner. This one had Keenan and Leslie and Halsey and Chris and Ego. All the black characters again. Wow.
I know. It's like sketches like this, they remind me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, SNL, we've got like four black regulars now.
So let's use them all.
That's got to be the most they've had in the show's history, right?
Probably.
I don't think they've ever had that many black people on at the same time before.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think other times, like when Jay Farrar was on. But yeah, like I guess when Jay was on, then somebody else wasn't. So
well, let's see. Jay was on. I mean, Keenan was on, of course, at that time. And then Leslie came on. And yeah, okay. Well, they've had four before, but they've never had more than four.
Yeah, it's never been more than... This is peak.
This is peak.
This is big, people.
Well, that's a good, third of the cast?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because they probably have about a dozen people on the show now.
Wow. It's practically in living color. How about that?
Same.
Living color.
Nice going, SNL. It's a big improvement over a few years ago.
We're doing it.
Anyway.
Family dinner. We learned that the father, he was laid off of his job.
As a mailman.
And now he's become a bit of a cam model. Who does stuff with his butt on camera.
Yeah, he's on a site called Cam Fans Only. I did not Google that to find out if it was a real site.
Don't.
I don't think I want to.
You get on a list, I'm sure.
But I know usually like when you mention a website on a TV show, I think the studio has to buy that domain name just to make sure that it doesn't lead to anywhere heinous.
Really?
I know they did that on like How I Met Your Mother all the time. They had fun with that.
I did not know that.
But...
All right, but yeah, so basically we find out is that the dad, who's an older man, does weird butt stuff for money.
Yeah.
And his kids are aghast, as is his wife, until his wife learns about how much money he makes.
Yes, and he's making like $100,000 a month.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing. I guess people are making crazy bank from just, doing butt stuff on camera.
I believe there is money in pornography on the internet.
What?
I know it's a radical thing to say.
Since when?
I think a lot of people enjoy watching the pornography on the internet. And some people are even willing to pay money to get more or better or more explicit pornography on the internet.
Wow.
That happens.
This is not my America.
You didn't sign up for this.
Didn't sign up for this. Wow. All right.
But I enjoyed like how casual he was about it. And they're like, Dad, that's you should be careful. That's a site where like gay men go on to watch guys do butt stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
And we find out his screen name is like his actual given
name. He put his government out there like that. Of course, guys come up to him and like, oh, love your work. You're amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I think my favorite line in the sketch was at one point the dad says, I could be on Ellen, and Chris Redd just says, Ellen, don't do nasty, Dad. Which I don't know if it was the line or if I just really loved Chris Redd's read of it, but it was just, it really hit me in the right place. Ellen, don't do nasty, Dad.
It's a good line. So yeah, and kind of quickly, too. Nice, okay little sketch.
Yeah, it was a nice, I like when as you get closer and closer to 1 a.m., that's when they bring out the really weird stuff.
Yeah.
And here, this is probably a sketch they couldn't put any earlier because it is...
I can't imagine
them. Yeah, it's talking about sex stuff.
Yeah.
So...
Buttholes and whatever.
I'm sure the NBC standards and practices people were like, you can do that, but only after 12:30.
Yeah. So. Then you can talk about all the buttholes you want.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
then the final one was...
sketch.
They were filming an episode of Riverdale.
Season finale of Riverdale.
Yeah, which is a huge hit.
With Archie Comics characters getting all sexed up.
Yeah. I know a ton of people like it because it's just so, I guess, salacious. I don't know. Because I used to read like tons of Archie comics back in the day. I was a huge Archie comics fan. And I'm a purist. Like, I don't see Archie in that light.
I don't want to see Jughead getting it on.
Yeah. Like,
I don't need to see that.
Jughead, he eats burgers and runs away from Big Ethel. That's what he does.
That's right. That's right.
I don't need to see him get down like that.
And it started with, I know the show started with like Archie having an illicit affair with Ms. Grundy.
Yeah.
Who was much younger in this. She's like a young, hot Ms. Grundy.
Yeah.
And I don't know why my voice went so gravelly.
Yeah, that's not.
I certainly turned into Harvey Firestein.
Is that your hot voice?
I don't know.
Hey there, big fella.
I don't know.
The young, hot Ms. Grundy.
Hey there, sailor. Buy a girl a drink. Like, aye.
So basically, we don't really get Riverdale.
I don't. If you like it, God love you, but it's not.
It's a popular show. It's got to be in its like second or third season
now. It's getting really popular. I mean, so that they made the Sabrina thing, too.
Oh, did they have is that an actual spinoff?
You didn't see? Yeah, so, I don't know if
it's the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the Netflix thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a direct spinoff, but it's, it's definitely inspired. That'd be cool
if they shared the continuity.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely inspired by it, though. Mm-hmm. Like a darker version of
that's
something.
That's true. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. But yeah. You're right.
But yeah, I don't know. But a lot of people like Riverdale. So anyway, they're filming this episode of Riverdale, and it's this episode where somebody died, and like they're in the coroner's office, and Pete Davidson's playing the corpse.
Yeah.
But he's like this method actor.
British method actor.
Yeah.
And Lionel Rogers.
Exactly. He wants like death rattles in there and like, you know.
He's insists that the corpse would make noises because he would be expelling gases because he's been dead for 2 or 3 days.
And thrash around a bit.
Yes.
And I thought this was interesting. Like this is, I don't know, like for, I thought this is like some of the, I don't want to say, I guess impressive. Like, this is like some of the most acting I've seen Pete Davidson really do.
It's some decent character work from Pete Davidson.
Because, like, usually he does the SNL, I mean, the Weekend Update desk stuff.
Right.
And he does.
He offends somebody, and then he comes on a week or two later to apologize for offending somebody.
Yes, that's his MO.
And then a week or two later, the cycle repeats again.
Yes, the circle of life.
Yeah.
And then he also does, like, I mean, in sketches, he has, like, a few lines here and there and kind of gets in and gets out. But this one, he was like, the main
He's the center of the sketch.
And I mean, I'm sure he's done it before in the past, but like, I mean, this is like the one of the main times he's done it. And I think he kind of pulled it off. I was like, oh, he can do stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it only took a couple of years to be on the show, but he did it. It's
interesting this season. We're seeing people like Pete Davidson and Leslie Jones. They're doing a little more character work. They're stepping out of the comfort zones a little bit.
Yeah, very much so.
They're integrating into the sketch comedy a little more, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah. I mean, I think because like in the beginning, when we started this podcast, we were both kind of, you know, had our issues with Leslie Jones and Pete Davidson. They seem like very one note.
Yes.
So the fact that they're branching out and doing other things and like getting bigger and getting more of a chance to like show what they can really do and even stepping out of their comfort zone, like you said, is like, oh, all right, there you go.
And it's amazing that this is happening like a few seasons into their run on the show.
Yeah. I mean, usually that happens like early. Like usually they have like a cast member that can like do everything. But, like, you know, it took them a while to sort of find their footing and get comfortable enough to do bigger things. Or maybe they just weren't getting the writing, you know, getting roles written for them in the same way. But now that they're doing bigger and better things and getting, you know, roles written for them that kind of want them to, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I'm just babbling at this point. You guys know what I'm trying to say.
But, you know, it's kind of weird on the job training where you're like literally learning how to be a sketch comedian on national television.
That is weird. Like usually you're supposed to come in with those tools.
Yeah. I would much prefer people to come in with those chops already and hit the ground running for the show the way I think Kate McKinnon more or less hit the ground running.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I think she showed what she could do very, very quickly, and very quickly became one of the big people on the show.
Like Cecily Strong, I think did it. Bill Hader did it. Like a lot of people just like already come in knowing what their strengths and weaknesses are,
right?
And they're just ready to go.
Yeah, and you know, I think that usually happens when they hire people out of, like, say, Second City or the world of people who are already doing sketch comedy.
Groundlings and whatnot.
Right. And if it's somebody who's, like, coming up from the writer's room or coming up from the world of stand-up, it takes a little longer.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Pete did some really good acting. He said, oh, he lived in a morgue for 3 months to prepare for this role.
Yeah, wasn't one of my favorite sketches of the night, but I thought it was good enough.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right.
It was good. But I mean, I just like it for the fact that Pete was like, he's playing it up. He's like,
And he had that Rudolph sketch earlier this year in the Jason Momoa show.
Oh, right, the Rudolph sketch, yeah.
So
I was like, oh, go look at you, Pete.
Pete and Leslie have been real surprises for me for this season. Yeah. I was really not expecting to change my opinions on them much, and I've been pleasantly surprised by both of them.
Yeah, see, changing lives.
Yeah, that's right.
Not bad. And that's pretty much the show.
That was the show. I thought this was a solid show. I thought this was one of the better ones of the season.
I'll give you that.
I thought Halsey did a nice job.
Halsey was. Like I said in the beginning, like I was iffy on Halsey. I was like, can she do this? And sure enough, she can. She seemed game for every sketch she was in.
She did a nice voice in the sketch where the parents were calling Mikey Day's architect character. She did a really nice sort of nasal mom voice.
Yeah.
And
she's a great singer. And
good voice.
Huh.
Half decent painter, from what I can see.
Half decent painter. Yeah. Look at us learning. Wow.
Yeah, we're learning about new people.
All right, our eyes are open, man.
I know. Our minds are being opened.
Yeah, our lives are changed.
A gigantic vista is open to us now.
Yes. What?
I don't know. I wanted to get poetic.
That sounded pornographic.
We're not on the campsite.
Oh, beat me to it, son of a so and so.
That's later. Later.
Just a fun love.
Oh, as we bring it full circle, back to early '90s Madonna. But this was a good sketch. I thought it was one of the better ones of the season. I would put it in the top tier.
I would too. I think there was a good sketch, good sketch, good show, and yeah, it was happily pleasantly surprised.
So let's see.
So the next show we got coming up,
we got Don Cheadle and Gary Clark Jr.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this one. Don Cheadle, of course, everybody knows.
We love the Don Cheadle here.
We love the Cheeds.
The very first show that Darren and I co-hosted together, the first stand-up show.
Don Cheadle was on it.
We ended up somehow going on this huge tangent about Don Cheadle.
I don't even
remember how we got started on this. It ended with us chanting Don Cheadle Rocks to the audience. We led the audience in a chant of Don Cheadle Rocks.
Yeah, so and now that John somehow that was put out into the ethos, and now Don Cheadle is hosting the SNL episode that we will be talking about next week.
Is it egocentric that every time anything like tangentially related to something we've discussed on this podcast comes up on SNL, we just immediately take credit for it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very Trumpian.
Everything is all about us. Yep. It just sounds super egotistical. Yeah. I just realized.
If the president can do it, why can't we?
But
Gary Clark Jr., you said you weren't familiar with.
I am not.
For those that aren't, he's a really good musician. He's been around, I think, since 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of plays like bluesy soul rock. Like people say he has like a Hendrix vibe to him because, you know, he's a black guy that plays guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, has a very cool retro sound, like music you'd hear in a restaurant that serves barbecue. Like that type of music he does.
Okay. What a great description.
Yeah. So if you're into that at all, like, you know,
I could go for hearing a little barbecue music next week.
Yeah. So get a plate of, get some brisket.
Get some BBQ next week for the show.
Oh, get some pulled pork and some mac and cheese and enjoy.
I'm kind of craving that now.
Oh, damn it. Now that I said it, I'm like, oh, I'd love some pulled pork.
All right.
Starving.
So,
but I actually enjoy his music quite a bit, and he's a great guitarist, great singer. So I'm actually looking forward to this episode. I think it's going to be really good.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Don Cheadle is going to do. I don't believe he's hosted before, so it's going to be fun.
He has not. But he has like good comedic timing. He hasn't done too many comedies. Of course, we all know him from the Avengers movies and Boogie Nights.
Ocean's 11.
He's probably there to promote the Showtime show he's on now, Black Monday.
Oh, right. And, Paul Scheer's on that.
Paul Scheer, the dude that was in the TV show Girls, whose name I can't remember. I think
Andrew Reynolds.
That's okay.
that's him. The guy who did Book of Mormon, right?
Yes. Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Andrew Reynolds.
And Regina Hall, I believe.
Good cast.
Yeah, it's a good cast. And he's a good act. He's got comedic chops, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yep.
I very much so. And so that's our episode.
That is our episode. We should mention before we go, we did get another review on iTunes. I have it up here. It's from Little Verklempt. This is a friend of yours.
Yes, right? Comedian Allison Klemp. Thank you so much. Check her out, guys.
The headline is "Great Podcast" and gives us 5 stars. Thank you very much. Says Darren and John are so funny, and this podcast is essential listening for any fans of SNL. Keep up the great work, guys.
Essential listening.
So thank you very much.
And the great work we will keep up.
That's right.
So anything to plug? Anything on your end? What do you got?
No, I can't think of anything at the moment. I had like a really, really busy weekend. I somehow, like, through no special effort of my own, I agreed to do like 5 different things this weekend, which is like more than I've done in the last month.
Oh, yo, yo.
Friday, I went into the city. I saw our friend Kevin Dabrowski. He recorded his first comedy album.
Oh, shout out to Kevin D. Kevin D.
He did 2 shows at the New York Comedy Club. Did a great, great job.
Ooh.
I don't know when the album is due to come out. I don't know if Kevin knows when it's due to come out.
TBD.
But, But hilarious stuff, and I will be sure to plug it when it comes out.
Far, hey,
it
maybe we'll have him on the. It was great stuff, here.
And you know, maybe if the recording was good, you can hear me laughing in the background.
Ooh, yeah, so, you have a boisterous laugh. I wouldn't be surprised.
I like to support. Yeah, I like to support.
Good on you.
So yeah, and then yesterday I went to like a friend's birthday thing that he was doing, and we're doing a thing after we get done recording. We're gonna go hang out with our friend Matt.
Yeah,
and his fiancee Amy.
Shout out to Matt Jenkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another friend of ours who's a comic.
We're in the know. That's what we're trying to say. We run in some deep circles.
And I did a phone interview yesterday afternoon.
I'm
doing a lot of shit.
You're
man.
Very popular. Yes. The world wants you. Yes, John.
I don't like doing things and seeing people. This is so unlike me.
Oh my God.
This is
you want to live like a hermit?
That's my comfort zone, man. I'm just
like I'm Howard Hughes, just peeing in jars.
Yes, like absolutely. Like that sounds reckless. Wonderful. That's what I want. That's all I want.
Long yellow fingernails and peeing in jars.
That's right, letting my beard grow.
That's all anybody wants.
Watching Ice Station Zebra 10 million times? It's a good movie.
That's the dream.
That's the dream.
Oh my God.
That's the dream. Not touching doorknobs because I'm afraid of the germs.
Yeah. So you don't have anything to promote? Is that what
I don't. I okay. don't. But you can follow me and hear all more of this insanity on my Twitter at Trumbull Comic.
And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Darren Credible. And if you're in Jersey, you can come see me at the Crockpot Comedy Show at Pet Shop in Jersey City on February 13th. And I'll be hosting for Kevin Downey Jr. on February 28th at Paisano's in Rutherford, New Jersey. All that info is on my website, Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And you can follow the show Twitter account at SNL Nerds Show.
Yeah.
And we also have the Facebook page, SNL Nerds. So yeah. Please contact us on either one of those and let us know what you thought of this episode of SNL, this episode of the podcast.
Yeah. And the Patreon. Donate to the Patreon, too.
Non-productive.com.
Give us money. Money, money, money.
Money, 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 money. We like the money.
Yeah, yeah. And, Oh, and do you want to try that new catch or phrase for signing off?
I was going to try and do it a little more organically, but yes.
Ooh.
We discussed that we didn't have like a good solid sign off for the podcast.
Yes.
We tend to just peter out, and
yes.
And then Darren puts the music over it, and it's a weird ending. But so we wanted to try something. We discussed something.
Yeah. Well, Frank puts the music. I don't do anything.
Yeah. Did I say you put the music?
Yeah.
In? Oh.
But it's all Frank. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank. Frank Ablauri, our long-suffering producer, is just like, wrap it up already.
He's going
wrap
like
wrap it up. He's not even in the room, and we can see him just turning his finger around.
We feel his hot breath on our necks.
So that's
the show, and
we are out of here.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.